Hare Krishna, this morning we're reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Text 42 and 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tat Tatma Sargam Tam Kayam. Pittara Patipadire. Sadhyebhascha pitchibhascha tavayoya vitanvate. Te, they, atmasargam, source of their existence. Tam, that. Kayam, body. Pitaraha, the pitas. Patiped dire, accepted. Sadhyebhyaha, to the sadhyas. Cha, and. Pitribha, to the pityas. Cha, also. Kavaya, those well versed in rituals. Yat, through which. Vitanvate, offer oblations. Translation. The pittas themselves took possession of the invisible body, the source of their existence. It is through the medium of this invisible body that those well versed in the rituals offer oblations to the sadhyas and pityas in the form of their departed ancestors on the occasion of Shraddha. Please repeat. The pittas themselves took possession of the invisible body, the source of their existence. It is through the medium of this invisible body that those well versed in the rituals offer oblations to the sadhyas and pityas in the form of their departed ancestors on the occasion of Shraddha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shraddha is a ritualistic performance observed by the followers of the Vedas. There is a yearly occasion of 15 days when ritualistic religionists follow the principle of offering oblations to departed souls. Thus, those fathers and ancestors who, by freaks of nature, might not have a gross body for material enjoyment, can again gain such bodies due to the offering of Shraddha oblations by their descendants. The performance of Shraddha, or offering oblations with prasada, is still current in India, especially at Gaya, where oblations are offered at the lotus feet of Vishnu in a celebrated temple. Because the Lord is thus pleased with the devotional service of the descendants, by His grace He liberates the condemned souls of forefathers who do not have gross bodies, and He favors them to again receive a gross body for development of spiritual advancement. Unfortunately, by the influence of Maya, the conditioned soul employs the body he gets for sense gratification, forgetting that such an occupation may lead him to return to an invisible body. The devotee of the Lord, or one who is not in Krishna consciousness, however, does not need to perform such ritualistic ceremonies as Shraddha, because he is always pleasing the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his fathers and ancestors who might have been in difficulty are automatically relieved. The vivid example is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj requested Lord Narsingadev to deliver his sinful father, who had so many times offended the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord replied that in a family where a Vaishnava like Prahlad is born, not only his father, but his father's father and their fathers, up to the 14th father back, all are automatically delivered. The conclusion, therefore, is that Krishna consciousness is the sum total of all good work for the family, for society, and for all living entities. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author says that a person fully conversant with Krishna consciousness does not perform any rituals because he knows that simply by serving Krishna in full Krishna consciousness, all rituals are automatically performed. Om Jnanantananda Shya Jnanaslakaya Chakshulmijamne Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutare Simhati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiditya Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Paschate Satarine. We read translation of text 42. Recognizing himself to be full of desire and energy, the worshipful Brahma, the creator of living entities, evolved from his own invisible form, from his navel, the host of sadhyas and pityas. Purport. The sadhyas and pityas are invisible forms of departed souls, and they are also created by Brahma. Text 43. Translation again. The pittas themselves took possession of the invisible body, the source of their existence. It is through the medium of this invisible body that those well-versed in the rituals offer oblations to the sadhyas and pityas in the form of their departed ancestors on the occasion of Shraddha. This chapter entitled A Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. Vidura is asking about the creation, how the creation took place, and Maitreya is repeating what he has heard from his authority. And here we can see how the different living entities are created. So this instance, Lord Brahma, feeling the impulse to create by the Lord, he is given this potency and position by Lord Vishnu. And he is feeling that recognize himself to be full of desire and energy, then he has to do something, right? If you have desire and energy, then you're going to do something. So the impetus is coming from the Supreme Lord Vishnu. The potency is coming from Lord. And he evolved from his own invisible form, which I don't know what it is. Unless it's a subtle form of, we have the living entity as a subtle form of mind, intelligence, and identity or ego, as well as the gross body, gross forms of earth, water, fire, and air, ether. Anyway, from this, he evolved the sadhas and pittas. And they have invisible bodies. Otherwise, they have subtle bodies. So it's a higher form of life than this one. It's much more fine. These five Mahabhutas are not so are present there like in this body. Just imagine if we didn't have a gross body, we wouldn't suffer all these tribulations that go along with the body. So many tribulations, right? Old age, disease, death, hunger, thirst, etc. So this ceremony of Shraddha that you would perform to your to the forefathers, when someone leaves their body, and then you will offer this Shraddha ceremony, we're offering prasadam, offering bhoga to Lord Vishnu in the name of the departed ancestor, and that and by the Lord being pleased by that activity, then he releases those living entities he awards them, a gross body. So there's a but the Srila Prabhupada says for the pure devotees, there's no need to follow all these rituals. There's several things here because it depends why you're performing this Shraddha ceremony. For the materialistic people, they have to perform the Shraddha ceremony. If you perform this Shraddha ceremony, this Pinda, then it keeps your forefathers in Pitraloka. It's a heavenly planet. It's an invisible planet. So they're enjoying there. So this Shraddha is being performed every year, there's a specific time they follow, the 15 days. And Gaya, we know at Gaya we have this, Vishnu Pad, these footprints of the Lord that is a recommended place to go. Of course you can do it here in, what is it, Godram, Harihara, Getra, that is not different from Gaya, they have also Gadadha's footprints in that temple. You could do the same thing there also, get more benefit. But anyway, that place is especially famous. All the Hindus will go there. You should do. You're supposed to go there at least one time. It's a little materialistic now, but when you go there, they'll catch you and say, "We'll do your pinda. We'll do your shraddha for your mother or father, even they haven't died yet." So when they die, you won't have all the trouble to come back again. But that's not the system. that necessary to offer this shraddha to keep them in there. And as long as they don't offer, if one son doesn't do that, then they have to come back to earth again. Actually, we have one devotee here, Murari, and his father left his body, and he didn't do that because he said for devotee is not necessary. His father came in the dream. Where's the prasad? Why aren't you offering us Jagannath prasad? Prasadam. And two or three times he came, so finally he did. Because if they're there, then all the previous ancestors, they're going to get on their case. What's going on? You know, it's your son. He's not offering this pinda. He's offering this shraddha. We'll all have to come back to earth again. Anyway, that's what he said. It was a dream. But that's the idea. If you don't do it, then that person has to come back. So here, and he said also, we offer in the Ganga also that we offer some prasadam. We offer the plate, get the maha prasadam. Here, the way we do it, we offer the son, daughter, will offer the bhoga to the Lord, Radha Madhava, in the name of their father. And then they will take the prasadam and offer one plate to the Ganga, on one plate. So that, it says that Ganga, when it goes into the Bay of Bengal, then it goes down to Patala. It goes to the other lower planets also, the celestial Ganges. And so it may relieve someone from any hellish situation, if they have to go to hellish situation. And otherwise, this prasad, if someone dies untimely, Prabhupada said by freak of nature, it means if someone commits suicide or dies untimely. If a person dies young, it's considered a freak of nature if it's a natural death if they die young. But anyway, people aren't supposed to die young. Generally, you generally meant to live for whatever it is. In Kali Yuga is 100 years, it's about 80 now. But if someone dies early or takes their own life, especially if they take their own life, then they get a subtle body, they get a ghost body, they become a ghost because they get, you know, you got rid of this gross body. Okay, you don't want a gross body, take a subtle body. So they just hover around in the subtle body of the mind, intelligence, and false ego. But it's very frustrating because they still have the mind and they still have desires. They haven't, their heart is not purified, mind is not purified by that. And so although they have desire for sense gratification, they don't have any means to satisfy their senses because they don't have a body. That's why they try to attack people and get in their bodies. So here was mentioned earlier about this thing. Because they need a body to experience their sensations through. So this relieves them of those things. But this Pritchard is not that. They're not ghosts up there. They're actually higher living entities. It's a place of enjoyment. They enjoy in the. Of course, they have bodies. They can see each other, but we can't see them. So we don't follow. Mr. Prabhupada says, then for the devotees, they don't follow this. So, but when we do this, the Vaishnavas do that. They don't do it to propagate that your ancestors say in the heavenly planets in Pitchaloka. We don't want that. We don't want to keep our ancestors in the material world. That's not for the Vaishnavas. We want them to go back to the spiritual world. So therefore, they offer them prasadam, and then they'll get a chance to take, you know, breath again as human beings and continue the real purpose of life, which is to understand who you are, who is God, what is your relationship with Him. So the body, the senses are a means, are given as a gift for that. So human life, only in the human form of life, the other, someone's mentioned the other day, the lower forms of life, they don't generally ask this question, and the higher forms of life generally don't ask either, because they're satisfied, they're quite happy, there's not much suffering in the higher planets, seven planetary systems. So here, this is the Karmasthan, the middle planetary system, the Earth. So here we can make karma. We can act and make our karma, so we can shape our destiny here. Whereas in the upper planets, they're just experiencing the results of their good karma they're enjoying. And in the lower planets, they're experiencing the results of their bad karma they're suffering. So this is the best place. This is the way out of the material world from this planet. The quick way out, anyway. So we don't want to keep people up there within the material world. We want to become free. That's the purpose of life. Unfortunately, by the influence of Maya, as soon as a conditioned soul gets a body, then he employs it for sense gratification, forgetting that, you know, that's going to just keep you in the material, revolving around in the material world, in the Brahmanda. So Srila Prabhupada said, the one who is Krishna conscious does not need to perform ritualistic ceremonies because he is always pleasing the Lord. Therefore, his ancestors, who might be in difficulty, are automatically relieved. And the example is Prahlad Maharaj, who requested Lord Nrsingadev, to deliver his father. Nrsingadev asked Prahlad for a boon, benediction. Prahlad says, I don't have any desire for any benediction. I just need want your service, birth after birth. That is but my father was such a wicked person. He blasphemed you directly. He tried to attack you, And he caused so much suffering to other people. But anyway, he's my father after all, so he felt a little compassionate, even though he's a demon. He didn't mind. He wasn't distressed when Hiranyakashipu, when Nrisingadev tore him apart, because he could understand this is the Lord's. But anyway, so Lord Nrisingadev, don't worry. He said, your father's already be delivered. Not only your father, but 14 or some 21 generations, backwards and forwards, they get delivered. That's a pure devotee. If someone becomes completely purified, then they, just by being in that dynasty where that person is, becomes a pure unalloyed devotee of Krishna, all those generations back and forwards, just because they have some connection, they get purified. So this is the example. Is there, and also Dhruva, the story of Dhruva Raj. When he went back to Godhead, he perfected his life, and he went back to Godhead. When he got on that Vaikuntha airplane, came to take him. And also Yama came, death personified, came to salute him, that you've avoided me, you've cheated me, you've escaped me. And he paid his obeisances, and Dhruva just stepped on his head onto the airplane, took advantage of him, did some service. But then he was thinking, why should I go back and leave my mother alone? Because she was the actual one that told him how to find God. Although she was a very innocent woman, he had a desire to have a kingdom greater than his father. And his father was the emperor of the world, so it was a pretty tall order. But anyway, she said, only God can give you that. So he said, where is God? She said, well, all the sages, they go to the forest and meditate. So I guess he must be in the forest. So then he went to the forest. And Narada Muni came and initiated him and gave him the proper practice to follow. And within a very short time, because of his determination, unflinching determination, then the Lord Vishnu appeared before him and blessed him, purified him. So he asked him, then Lord Vishnu asked, what do you desire? And he forgot all about what he wanted. But just by seeing the Lord... of feeling the Lord's presence, by seeing the Lord, then all, there's nothing to compare with that. So all material desires have become insignificant. When if you actually see the Lord face to face, it's very rare, but you actually see the Lord face to face, and what else is to compare with that in the in the material world, in the material sense? There's no comparison. So he said, I was searching after broken glass. Because he had material desire, he's referring to that. But I found a diamond. But then he was thinking, when he got on the airplane, he was thinking about my poor mother. How could I go back without her? And the Vaikuntha Dutas, who came with the airplane, they understood. But when you have a spiritual body, then everything is known, what is necessary. So then they just pointed up, and he looked up and he saw his mother going ahead, already in another airplane, simply by his desire. Prabhupada mentions that if a person becomes that pure, he becomes just like God himself. That whatever he wants, it becomes manifest. So we heard also the residents of the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. Whatever they desire, they can have. Plus you have kalpa vriksha trees there. You can ask them for anything. And the dust is Chintamani. But although those anything you want is available simply by your willing, they're not interested in sense gratification. Because they have service to Krishna directly. There's nothing to compare with that. It's only when we forget Krishna, we think, there's something worth having in this material world. There's some pleasure to be had in this material world. Because we've forgotten what actual real pleasure is. So we're taking this temporary pleasure, which lasts a very short time, as all in all, and we work so hard to get it. Then you get it after a few minutes or a few hours, gone. Then you have to try again, and whole life we're struggling to keep this, you know, a nice safe position where we can experience this happiness. It says here, we read in the previous canto, that although this, everything there is designed for sense gratification in the spiritual world. Everything there, right? We heard about how the gorgeous bodies, there's no old age, there's no sick, the atmosphere, everything is fantastic there. The sights you see, the colors you've not seen before, sounds you've not heard before. Everything is fantastic. Just like it's made for sense gratification. But that doesn't bother them. They don't get distracted by that. Because Vishnu is there, because the Lord of their heart is there, there's so much pleasure in serving Him that they're not interested in that. So this is actually the proof of the potency of devotional service to the Lord. That you can, you have just no interest. No interest. What to speak of even liberation? Don't even consider it. You'd hate liberation, actually. The mukti, kevala liberation, where there's no variety there, there's no service there, there's no Vishnu's not there in that. It's just a state of existence. So that's considered by the pure devoted, those spiritualists, to be hellish situation, devoid of darshan of Vishnu, devoid of darshan of service. So Prabhupada mentions in that, in the story of Dhruva, he said also, my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, if I can make one pure devotee, because he had 64 mats in India, so if I can make one pure devotee, one unalloyed pure devotee, I would consider this mission, my mission, successful. I could consider this worthwhile, or what we've done. And Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes I think, he said, now this Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world. He said, but even though I'm so, what's the word he used? Crippled. Even though I'm so crippled, sometimes I think, if one of my disciples could become strong like Dhruva Maharaj, he could carry me back to Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada Gita. <yeah. laughs> So that's in his humility. We're all hanging on to Prabhupada's dhoti, hoping he'll take us back to. And he's thinking, if one of my disciples becomes strong like Dhruva, he can actually carry me back to Vaikuntha. But it's very rare that we don't see many cases of these devotees actually becoming to this extent, to so pure like that. But because we're in the same family, we have every hope. we're connected there. So I don't know how many generations, but we're only one or two generations from Srila Prabhupada. Now we're initiated into his family. So that's Krishna consciousness. So then, Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness is the sum total of all good work for the family, for the society, and for living entities. So even though it says you don't have to perform any rituals, because you know by serving Krishna, all these rituals are automatically performed. Because all these other rituals, all the Vedas, what are they meant for? What are all these rituals for? They're to purify you, purify the living entity of the Raja, Tama, and Sattva, Guna. To bring one to the transcendental platform. Then what do? When you achieve that, when you achieve the result of all these rules and regulations, in other words, you attain liberation, you attain the darshan of the Lord, then you serve the Lord. Right? This is a conclusion. So if you already have service to the Lord, then what is the use of following all these rituals and rules and regulations? If you're actually established in a relationship with the Lord, then all these rules and regulations don't apply anymore. But of course, it's not that you give them all up, because Krishna, even the great devotees, they perform these for the... Krishna says, whatever a great man does, the others will follow. Krishna says, if I didn't act, he said that the whole world will be put into ruin because they would think, oh, Krishna doesn't do it, I won't do it. So then he acts. So we follow this system, but we do it for the pure devotees, that is. I mean, when we're doing the Shraddha thing here, we don't do it. We don't worship the demigods, and we don't do it to keep the people in Pitriloka. We do it to relieve them from their body, and they can get a spiritual body. They get benefit by taking prasadam. So we're doing the rituals the same, right? So we don't mind. We follow this. We follow these customs, the Vedic customs. But when the pure devotees do it, they don't have to do it. Who's not pure, they have to do it. You have to follow dharma, you see. But for the self-realized person, he has no duty to perform. No duty, no need to perform it, and no need not to. It makes no difference. So even if he does it, he's not obliged to do it, but he does it anyway for the common people, because you've got to have some kind of activity, some culture, even though they're liberated. Mukta jivan. Still they follow the thing, but they're not obliged to do it. And they don't do it in the same way as the karmikandas. They're not doing it when we follow the ritual. So we follow this shraddha. So we perform this shraddha ceremony, although it's not necessary. When Srila Bhakti Srup Damodara Maharaj's father left his body, he said, Srila Prabhupada is the eldest son, he should go to Manipur and do the last rites. And Prabhupada says, it's not necessary. And he had very important work to do here. So Prabhupada didn't feel that was worthwhile. Didn't think that was necessary, because he was engaged in Krishna's service. He's already pleasing Krishna by his service. To stop that pure, to stop your service to Krishna and engage in some ritualistic activity which is meant to purify you so you can come and serve Krishna, it just doesn't make sense. So in that case, he didn't. Although in the case, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he wanted to go for his mother. Prabhupada said it's not necessary. He said, but if you want to make them a recipient of your mercy, then you can go. In other words, give them some Vaishnava association. But for the ritual, not necessary. You're already blessed by, you know, you spend that time doing service to Krishna. You've got so much more benefit. Of course, it's difficult to understand for common people. So we perform the same activities, but we're not doing it. Our consciousness is different. We're not doing it for the same reason. They're doing it for, you know, long life, good health, wealth, and fame, etc. What else is there to do it for? But when the pure devotees do it, they do the same thing, but they don't do it for that. That motivation is not there. They're doing it either to set an example, and it will make the common people feel good that something's going on, you're doing some ritual, and they're satisfied. Although we're doing it, it says the Krishna conscious person does not perform any rituals, because he knows simply by serving Krishna. So what is he doing? He's not performing a ritual. He's going through the system, but he's not performing a ritual. He's doing it to benefit everyone in Krishna consciousness. So externally it looks exactly the same. It looks like he's doing the ritual. We're accepting the form, but we're not doing a ritual to keep someone in Pritchaloka. We're following a ritual to give them a spiritual body, to give them a advancement in Krishna consciousness. Although from externally it looks exactly the same. So that's the difference. So therefore you can say that the devotees are not performing any ritual, even though they're engaged in what seems like ritualistic activities. But for those advanced devotees, they're not engaged in ritualistic activities. They're engaged in serving Krishna. Although the form may look exactly the same. So this is continuing the story of how the creation became, how the living entities became manifest by Lord Brahma, the first created being. We simply have to accept these statements as authority. But we have so many evidences, Puranic evidences, to prove that these, you know, the facts are true. That these people, these siddhas do exist, the demigods do exist. Who was it? Was it Dhruva, or it was someone else who was performing. He was told by his guru, you perform these austerities and very, very soon you will be able to see the siddhas in the sky. In other words, you'll become perfect, you'll be able to see those perfect people who are normally invisible. So there are many examples in histories which are factually confirm all of these existences of these different species of life. So all the Srimad Bhagavatam is a complete science of God consciousness, because although we're talking about creation, we're talking about how these things, the demons are created, not only the angels or the demigods, Gandharvas, but the Pretas, the Bhutas, the Siddhas, all these people, even the ghosts and things like that. But they're all fact. They're all fact. But everything that is being spoken is in relationship with, is connected to devotional service to Krishna, which is the constitution of every living entity. So it's to bring everyone back to this point. Whatever your mentality, whatever your body, whatever form of life you're in, somehow or other you connect your life to it with service to Krishna. And then you're perfectly situated. So it doesn't matter what kind of form you have, as long as you can connect it once again back in the service of Krishna, then you're constitutionally, you're properly situated. And then it's a question of Krishna's mercy. We just wait for that. Because it's very rare. These souls are very rare to actually achieve a spiritual body in one lifetime. So we're very insignificant. We're very small. But simply we have to serve those devotees, or serve those devotees who are serving those devotees. Or whatever, everywhere we can catch on, we serve someone who's connecting with service to those devotees. And we just do what we can. We just do our bit for the... Do whatever we can. And then at the end of... When you leave this body, we'll see what happens. At least you can say, I've tried. I've done the best I can. And that's all they want us to do, really. Right? Then no one's asking us to become perfect. No one's asking us to just follow these Prabhupada's, just staying within this framework. Follow these rules and regulations. Chant Hare Krishna. He hasn't given a vast thing to do. And he didn't expect so much either. He said, you simply follow this, that's enough. By his mercy. So that's when the Acharya speaks, if you just follow that, then that's enough. That's your saving grace. So just do something. Whatever you can do, whatever situation you have, what intelligence, whatever ability, whatever facility you have, engage that in Krishna's service. This is what we can do, something. And that's our success. As long as we're doing that, then we're successful. As soon as we stop, it's a different story. Back in the material. As soon as you start again, So the idea is to 24 hours a day, somehow or other, remember. So this is why we all come together in a society to give each other support. To lean on each other, when we give each other support that we can constantly always remember Krishna. When I look here and I see all these faces with tilak, smiley faces, bright faces, with tilak and bee bags, you can't help but remember Krishna. So everything we do is geared for that. And as soon as you go outside, everything is the opposite. Right? Is it to forget Krishna and put yourself in as the center and the enjoyer. So by regularly hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, all those doubts will go and we'll become very fixed, steady in devotional service. without any doubt, and no room for doubts, and then we can live happily in this life, accepting whatever comes as Krishna's mercy or my karma. At the end of the life, Jaiho, we've done the best we can, and who knows the airplane will come for you or not. We wait and see. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thy go, Premanandi, Hare.